Welcome. You are listening to a multi-part podcast series on the history of Dominican University of California, presented by Campus Ministry. This series has been organized by Sister Mary Sower and is made possible through the joint effort of Campus Ministry, the Communications Department, and Penguin Radio.
Good day and welcome. I am Sister Mary, the Director of Campus Ministry. Thank you for coming to our Heritage and History Spring 2018 Lecture Series, We Come to Tell Our Story. Thank you to Stuart Horn and his class and Penguin Radio for recording this talk. This is the third semester of our Heritage and History presentations. You'll find this recording and previous ones on the Campus Ministry homepage of Dominican.edu. So Dominican theologian Father Edward Skillebecs wrote that the story of Dominicans can only be kept alive by live Dominicans. We at Campus Ministry also believe in the gift of storytelling. And so today we come to hear the story of Dominican Sister of San Rafael, Sister Jeremy Carmody. Sister Jeremy was born and raised in Sacramento. She was the first graduating class of St. Francis High School. During her life, her ministry experiences have included high school education and administration, director of formation for the congregation and later congregational leadership, and finally, service in healthcare. So welcome, Sister Jeremy. We look forward to hearing your Dominican story.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I do things a little bit backwards. So originally I was going to begin with my story. Instead, I have a few comments that I want to make in the beginning. First of all, I want to know when it's time to stop. So I'd simply say, for you to say yes to wrap it up. Get it? When you've had enough, wrap it up. Don't go like this. You could all practice that once. You got it. Wrap it up. All right. The other thing is, I want to tell you that our official name, all these sisters here, myself included, have the initials OP after our name. Do you know that? Do you know what OP stands for? Order of Preachers. So everyone in this room is a preacher. You are all called to preach. All of us, not just the sisters, everybody is called to preach. I also want to tell you a few things about myself. Before 1945 was the year I entered the congregation. You've already heard that I was born in Sacramento. My father's name was William P. Carmody. My mother was Margaret Lawrence. I have one sister, Pat Shea, spelled with two T's. She wanted to be unique, so she's P-A-T-T. My mother used to call us Bartsy. She couldn't remember our names, so it was supposed to be Barbara and Patsy. So my sister quickly got rid of the word Patsy and changed it to Pat with two T's. Pat has had five children. One of them died tragically some years ago, so she hasn't fully recovered from that. I was born, oh, I told you, to William P. Carmody and Margaret Lawrence. I'm of Irish background, in case you had any doubts. From time to time, growing up, we had wonderful trips to San Francisco, so I'll share one of those with you. My favorite scripture is to act justly, to love tenderly, and to walk humbly with your God. That is my very favorite scripture. My nickname is Bookie Bookie, rather than Sister Jeremy. I'm called Bookie Bookie, And that name was given to me by one of my nephews. He said, "You are not a bag lady, you are a book lady." And I insisted, and I always gave the children books to read. So they have a wonderful library of books, and they just pass it on to other children. I think that's about all I need to tell you about myself. So I'm sometimes book lady and not bag lady. He said, "You're not a bag lady, you're a book lady." So that's why they call me Bookie Bookie. So I often sign when I write a note to the children, instead of signing it Sister Jeremy, I will sign it Bookie Bookie. So on we go. I'm going to talk today about, first of all, I have too many pieces of paper, so they're a little mixed up. But I'm going to look at Dominican through a lens of the wicker room, the hunt room, the front room, and a class. And then I'm going to finalize that with an Easter basket. They don't sound very collected, but anyway. Too many papers, so I'll put them aside. I went to Dominican in 1945. I was 20 years old. I'm sure that surprises you, but I was only 20 years old when I went to Dominican. It was an experience that I will never forget. And San Rafael really has been home base for me. Back and forth, out and to, and so forth. It's always that I've been San Rafael as the home base. Before I went to Dominican, I have to tell you one story. And that is, in growing up, I spent a lot of time going to movies. My grandmother, we thought, was taking us to the movie. Actually, we were taking her. And sometimes she would want us to go to the late afternoon show at the Hippodrome because she could get free dishes. And she would often get free dishes by staying not just for the student time to go to the movie, but she would stay so she could claim that she had adults with her. You'll be interested in knowing that among the dishes here at Edgehill, which are very beautiful, is the dish that holds the holy water fount. That dish came from Reno. So my home base is always San Rafael. I want to tell you a story about coming to San Rafael. I've been very few places, but I've had a worth of experience, and I have to claim all the experience I have. As a matter of fact, I forget where I've been, so that's why one of the sisters wrote this piece of paper out for me. So home base is San Rafael. Anywhere else I go, I come back to San Rafael. I want to tell you about my experience before I came to San Rafael. And that was why we used to come to San Francisco. We came to San Francisco by taking a car to Oakland. There would be a ferry there in Oakland. We would drive the car onto the ferry because there was no Bay Bridge to cross. We would get off the ferry And why did we come to San Francisco? To eat. One of our favorite places to go was a restaurant called Blum's. And Blum's had the most delicious crunch cake. So if we didn't come for any other reason, it was to have a piece of crunch cake with all the sugar and nuts and everything on the bottom. So our trip to San Francisco was simply to have a meal at Blum's. How many people would get on a ferry with their car, drive into the dark, be just there in the dark as the ferry took us across? Then we'd get out, and then what would we do? We'd go shopping and eating. That's what we did. I still remember, and I'm sure all of you remember, I remember the favorite outfit that my mother and dad bought for my sister and me at the year when the World's Fair was occurring, which was... 29, right? 39. I had a lovely coat, the color of Gloria's. It had, well, I thought I was so fancy. It had fur on it. It had fur on the hat. And then we had muffs. Oh, we looked so fancy. I had one in burgundy. My sister Pat had one in light blue. So we thought we were whatever I want to say. I can't think of a word to describe us, but we thought we were really good looking. But then the next thing was go eat. Eat. Enjoy the food. That's why we went. That's why we came. No other reason. Eat and shop. Eat and shop. So one of the wonderful opportunities was at Christmas time to be able to go into the city of Paris and go up to a higher floor so we could look down and see the Christmas tree. That was just a delightful experience. But eat and shop. Then we would get back at the ferry and we would drive back to Oakland and then we would go home. And sometimes on the way, all I would sing was, Sue Soon has come too soon. You may not know where Sue Soon is, but it was a town. And we would still have some of our goodies, including our crunch cake. Later, one of the sisters had the recipe for the crunch cake, and she used to make the crunch cake for us. So my life in the beginning was, in a sense, narrow, but in a sense, broad, because not many of you could claim that you would go into a ferry boat and travel across the San Francisco Bay because there was no bridge, no bridge to cross. So that was one of the wonderful experiences as a child. I'm now going to tell you something about too many papers here. What I considered home base for me. Home base for me is really San Rafael. I've had very, very few experiences outside of San Rafael, but everything seems to go back to San Rafael. Yes.
You had mentioned you're going to talk about the Willow Room, and I don't.
Oh, I am.
I don't know where that is.
All right. I'm going to talk about four rooms, or three rooms here. They look like they've changed, but my talk is going to be based upon the Wicker Room, the Hunt Room, the Front Room, and my experience in a class. And lastly, an Easter basket. So I'm going to tell you what life was like in San Rafael, and probably some of you were not even alive when I came to San Rafael. I came to San Rafael at the age of 20. How many of you were alive when I would have been 20? That would have been 1945. Not many. Well, anyway, in 1945, when I came to San Rafael, I went to, it was the front room here. We used to have class in mathematics, and there were only, I believe, about 3 students in the class. One was Sister Karen Marie Franks. Another, her name was Sister Peggy Dietert, and myself, and a sister who's deceased now. Her name was Sister Luke. And for some reason, the teacher really did not like Sister Luke. But we did. We thought she was just wonderful. As young sisters, we were not supposed to talk to people like Sister Luke. We weren't supposed to talk to sisters that were a little bit older than we were. We were supposed to stay quiet and do what we were told. So among the things we were told, believe it or not, we were not allowed to walk down this pathway to the front gate. That was out of the question. We were always to go with someone else. I know, Mary, you look stunned. It was stunning when you think about it. Never, ever did we go with anyone except another sister. We traveled 2 by 2. So we would go down, and we would go to the front gate, but we weren't supposed to see anyone else to talk to. And of course, being typical of students, we found a way to talk. And among the people we talked to was someone named Sister Luke. The teacher particularly, for some reason, didn't like Luke. But we did. We thought she was just grand. So we used to call the teacher, we used to say, Hertz is Nertz. She was a German teacher, and she just did not like Sister Luke. But we did. And we used to say, Hertz is Nertz. And so we did exactly what we pleased and managed to talk to Sister Luke, managed to go see her. And among the places we went to see her was a place called the Wicker Room. Now, some of you sisters certainly remember the Wicker Room. Meadowlands. In the Wicker Room, we had so much wonderful, wonderful conversation. And around our life at the time were sisters who were really very, very outgoing and very welcoming and very supportive. So much of the strength of the time was being with these sisters. So into the Wicker Room, we would go and learn how to play cards. I don't know how many of you play bridge, but that's where we learned how to play cards. So that was one place we went. Another place we went was the Hunt Room. You know the Hunt Room. Meadowlands. And in the Hunt Room, we had all kinds of conversation there. We just loved the Hunt Room because it was like ours. It was our place to go. It was our place to tell our stories. There wasn't any formality there. Then the other place we went, which you would not understand at all, was a place called the Smokehouse. Do you think you know what the Smokehouse was? Mm-hmm. Guess.
Smoking
Absolutely. And we were not supposed to smoke. So it's where we could go to smoke and have conversation. And again and again, just enjoy one another.
And it's still standing.
It's still
the gazebo is a smokehouse?
Yep. Yes. And so
it wasn't closed in. It was open. There's no rooms or anything.
So you just have to know the places I enjoyed, the places I enjoyed growing up in San Rafael are places you are still familiar with. What was I in 1945? I was born in 27. So today, I'm a challenge to myself. Today, I am 90. So things I don't remember and things I do remember. The smokehouse, we had the best conversations there. We learned to know one another. We learn to talk to one another. So the smokehouse is still standing, but it's got a different need today. The hunt room was our room. No one told us we couldn't go there. Again, chatting away, learning from one another, having fun, talking. It's still here. Then the other room was the wicker room, and you probably didn't know that room, but that was a room where there was wicker furniture, and the sisters would go down there and teach us how to play bridge. We had very great contact with the sisters. They would be in charge of us in the evening, and you just can't imagine what it was like. Always being checked up on. You know, in the morning, they would go through our rooms and see if we had our clean clothes in the right place. But they weren't too strict. But nevertheless, they wanted to see if our hair brushes didn't have hair in them. All these things that we had to do. They didn't expect us to do everything the same way. That's one thing about Dominicans. We are not the same. All these sisters I've lived with, they all have their unique gift. I have a unique gift, but you would never say, oh, the Dominicans, no one know them all. No one and no one, and you know one, that's what you know. In, let's see what else.
The Easter basket.
Pardon me?
The Easter basket.
Oh, yes, thank you. Well, before I talk about the Easter basket, I want to show you what the sister who's in charge of our archives gave me to bring today. And that is something Sister Carla has in her hand, and she has to hold it in her hand and dare not give it away. Dare not.
So this is from 1963. Sister Jeremy was a sister teaching in the high school, which was right here on campus, and they took a trip of the high school students to Washington, D.C., and through connections, they were able to have a personal visit with President Kennedy.
He was so handsome. You could hardly see President Kennedy, or you could see President Kennedy. You could hardly see me. Somehow, I'm tucked behind President Kennedy.
Is that San Francisco?
That
Washington,
is
D.C.
Washington, D.C. It would be 1963. In 1963, I was going to take my first plane ride. I had never been on an airplane. So the sister who was the superior at the time, I went in to say goodbye, and she said, I need to tell you a secret, but I don't know whether to tell you or not, because Sister Thomasy, the other sister, thought that we were going to come back and team teach. She was going to teach English, and I was going to teach history. And we would just make the best team. So in 1963, off we go. I'm taking my first plane ride, and the first thing we're going to do is see President Kennedy on his birthday. So that was just absolutely thrilling. I got on the plane, and I was really scared. I'd never been on a plane. I didn't even know what it meant to be on a plane. But we were to visit President Kennedy on his birthday and present him with a medal. I still remember the medal. And we were to be with him. The girl who wrote something on the back reminds us that we were there giving him the medal for his birthday. And the sister who was the superior of the congregation said, "I have something to tell you. I don't know whether to tell you now or wait till you get home." And of course, you know, innocent that I am. She said, "When you go home, you are not going to be teaching school anymore. You're going to be what you call the novice mistress." That meant I was going to teach young women who were studying to be sisters. So as we went along, Sister Thomasine, who was pretty much in charge of the trip, said, "Now we're going to do this when we get to Washington, D.C. We're going to do this in Baltimore. We're going to do this here. We're going to do this there." And I kept thinking, oh, Jeremy, please don't talk in your sleep. Please don't talk in your sleep. Please don't talk in your sleep. Because she had one idea of what we were going to do, and I knew I was supposed to be doing something else. But the home base was always, always here in San Rafael. So no matter where we went, I was always coming back to San Rafael. But I had very few experiences away from San Rafael. I've spent most of my life here. As a matter of fact, I kind of forget and get my experiences mixed up. I'll say that's because I'm 90. Is that fair?
Yes.
Anyway, we went on the trip, and of course, that's a picture of Sister Thomasine there in the front. She was so excited. She was like, "Oh, tomorrow we're going to do this. Oh, we go to Baltimore, we're going to do that." Oh, and I would think to myself, "Jeremy, don't talk in your sleep. Don't talk in your sleep, because you're not going to do any of these things. You're coming home to do something else." And I'm sure people like Patty Doherty sort of remember it. I would think you would. I would think you would. And some of you definitely remember. So I just went off. I just had the most glorious time, fully enjoyed myself, and finally settled down to I was going to no longer teach at Santa Catalina, but I was sent here to take over a job. So I came home and they gave me just a piece of paper practically, and said, "You're going to plan a play day." I'd never even been hardly in Forest Meadows. And I was going to plan, "You're going to invite all these students to come together and enjoy a play day." I didn't know what a play day was. I hardly knew where Forest Meadows was located. All they did was give me a piece of paper and say, "Do it. Do it." So most of my life, I have to say, has been a life of truly say yes. And I would have to say that every yes experience brought me to a different level of another yes. That wasn't one yes and then no more yeses. My whole life has been a life of saying yes. And often, let me tell you, I was totally unprepared. I really, Father Bob knows, Mary knows what it means to be unprepared. What am I going to talk about? What am I going to say? What will I do? And it was really just rare. But home base was San Rafael. After I came home from the famous trip, and it's on that famous trip where we see a President Kennedy, tall and handsome. And I think on that record that Sister Carla has is talks a lot about where we went. One time we had to go out and we had to wear these long black coats and it was raining. So when we got home, we opened our coats and our habits were polka dot. Polka dot, really, because it had rained so hard, it rained right through the coat. I had to spend all my time listening to Sister Thomasine tell me how wonderful we were going to be when it came to teaching. Instead of coming home to teach, I was sent to go to become what you call the novice mistress of the congregation. That meant I was expected to teach young sisters how to be sisters. It was a challenge. But they were wonderful. They were just wonderful. They did some things they weren't supposed to do. One time they went to somebody's home and had a wonderful time there, but someone sort of let me know, and I knew they had gone out where they shouldn't have gone out. But that was life. I myself taught English, history, math, and at Santa Catalina, I was told, we're going to have you be the registrar of the school. Registrar? I didn't know what a registrar did. We're going to have you do such and such. In 1963, I became novice mistress. What I'm trying to show you, in limited areas, I've had a wealth of experience. Home base is always San Rafael, but somehow I managed to see so much and do so much and enjoy so much.
Sister Jeremy,
yes.
We're getting close to the timer. I know people want to ask questions, so I still want to know how the Easter basket fits.
Oh, the Easter basket. I'd love to tell you about the Easter basket, and I'll be very quickly wrap this up. We were told as young sisters that we could not talk to any sister who was older than we were. But there were, at the time, three sisters who were a little bit older than we were, but we liked them very much. One was Sister Carol Quinn. I don't know whether you ever knew Sister Carol Quinn. No, Sister Carol wasn't there. There was a Sister Mark, a Sister Bernadette, and a Sister, who was the third one? Luke. Yes, absolutely, Luke. And so we decided nobody could have Easter without an Easter basket. Easter would not be complete without an Easter basket. So we went over to San Francisco, all dressed up like you can't imagine what we looked like, and got these Easter basket and brought them back and put them outside the chapel door. And everybody, we said, has to have an Easter basket. Nothing is complete without an Easter basket. So when they opened the chapel door, they found three Easter baskets there. And so that was something special because we were doing it for these young sisters who were just a bit older than we were, but we weren't supposed to talk to them. And this is how we got around it.
But we're not going to let you out of the hot seat just quite yet. Is there anything that somebody would like to ask Sister Jeremy? We have about 10 minutes left of this. If there's something you just want to ask her or make a comment.
I have a question.
Yes?
Sister Jeremy, I teach communications here, and I was a student here. I graduated from Dominican a long time ago. And I was touched when you said that you were asked to do things that you knew nothing about. You were expected to be able to figure those things out on your own. And these were yes moments in your life that led to other yes moments.
Right.
And it made me think about yes moments in my life when teachers and employers have asked me to do things that for a moment I thought, why would they ask me to do that? I don't have any experience and I don't know anything about that. And I have come to the realization that they've asked me to do those things because based on other parts of my personality, they have decided that I am capable enough to figure it out. Would you agree with that type of assessment? And were you ever resentful when they asked you those things? Or were you happy?
Only once that I can remember.
Okay.
A teacher said to me, I want you to teach biology. And I said, Sister, I've never had a course in biology. So it was my one, it stands out in my memory, my one like refusal. But why would I teach biology when I didn't know anything about biology? You know. So instead I taught math and history and religion. And then they tacked on to that, be a registrar. I didn't know what a registrar was.
Yeah, I asked a lot of my people the same way. Things that they've never done before.
I didn't know what a play day was. You're gonna have play day. Play day. I didn't even know where Forest Meadows was. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And really, my life was a life of yeses. I have to say, every yes built on another yes. And I don't regret that at all, because I think it prepared me to be who I am today. I was very nervous about coming up here today. Very. I don't like to speak. You'd never know that, would you?
I think Stephanie has a question.
Yes, I have a question. You had said that, from the picture, that you taught at the high school when the high school San Domenico was here on campus.
Right.
Then you also stated that you taught at Santa Camelina down in Monterey. Which one came first and which one was?
Well, you know, that's where my life becomes a little complicated because my memory plays a role in this. I was at the upper school, and that's San Rafael, San Rafael, San Rafael. Then I went to Santa Catalina, and they sent me down there. And they sent me down there for 8 years with the idea, when you come back to San Rafael, you're going to do a play day, and you're going to do something else. And I thought, a play day? I don't even know where Forest Meadows is. And you're going to invite all these students from 8 different schools in the Bay Area to join us.
How'd it go?
What did they give me? They gave me a piece of paper practically and said, do it. And so one thing led to another. The play day was very complicated because there were about 8 schools invited to come to the play day. I had never been to a play day, but here's a folder, do it. I had never been to, yes.
I was saying, and I love Playdate. It was the most fun at all. Because you had Branson and all the big schools.
Broadway, St. Rose, Santa Catalina's, and other schools.
You had buses from all those schools come for a whole day, and you had ping pong. I played ping pong. I didn't make it for soccer or any of the other ones, but ping pong was good. And then you had to do skits and you sang. And you had
skits and sang and always look to Sandra Phil as the place. So even though you didn't know anything about Play Day, even though you didn't know where Forest Meadows was, you're going to do Play Day.
And was it all just high schools?
Was it
girls? Girls high
school. Well, you know, I think what we must have done, we must have had some relationship with some boys' school.
Not for play day.
Not then.
That was later.
I believe I was at the last play day.
Were you?
Meadows. Yeah.
Good.
Is that a year?
That was my year.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, Sister Jeremy, thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming.